We wanted to really strategize how to spend future investments in a way that's going to have the biggest impact, not only on the student experience, but also on the kind of holistic campus learning environment. So on the next slide here, there were a few kind of bigger drivers that we just identified as we engaged in the planning work here. And these drivers really set really kind of a platform for how we thought about the both kind of near-term priorities as well as some longer-term visions of what your campus can be. So first, really thinking about the student enrollment and a desire to incrementally increase that. The facilities were built for a much larger campus population than what you have here, and so thinking not only how to use those facilities better, but also just incrementally increase that piece. And so the campus plan looked at this kind of more of a future state, not only meeting today's student body's needs, but also as we continue to increase that. I mentioned this, we wanted to really reposition some of your underutilized spaces so that faculty and staff and students are interacting in a bit more of a collaborative way. Today, if you walk through some of the halls, it feels like people are tucked away into a lot of different buildings. And so trying to come up with strategies of where either departments are located, where different kind of teaching labs could begin to just bring some additional kind of transparency and just kind of cross populations. We also wanted to make sure we're creating just a vibrant campus community. So that's a little bit more holistic as we're thinking about how to use your land maybe in a more amplified way. Can we begin to increase how people are crossing across the campus, they have places to stop and really engage with one another. And then another of the kind of key drivers, you just heard the athletic report, and I know that's been an ongoing conversation of how we continue to kind of amplify the athletic experience here. So you'll see this in the plan, because that is a big kind of land piece, athletics, and so we wanted to make sure that we're planning not only kind of near-term investments, but a longer-term strategy as that department continues to grow. So beyond the specifics here at Chicago State, there's just some kind of broader catalytic initiatives that we wanted to make sure we're addressing. So strengthening the student experience. How can we really improve the life of the students that are living on campus today and perhaps add to the amount of students that are living here, but also creating places for your commuter students to kind of get out from their one building that perhaps they go into and find places that are more of a common ground for everyone. We really wanted to accelerate this interdisciplinary collaboration. And so I think just hearing from some of your faculty and understanding that this is where everything's headed and this is what really has the best outcomes for not only your student success, but also just for all of the departments collectively. So having our physical space support that matter. And then finally, stimulating new partnerships. This could be pretty broad. It could be thinking about new development on 95th Street and the partnerships that would be required for that, to other institutional partners that can continue to really advance the impact of Chicago State. We did want to make sure that we're addressing challenges. So I mentioned the campus facilities condition report. That's part of this plan. So really understanding those kind of current needs within those spaces. It could be the need to improve existing teaching spaces, whether it's the laboratory or classroom, to just kind of general upkeep and maintenance of the buildings. To are there places where we could strategically renovate something for incredible impact, whether that's softer places for students to gather between classes, perhaps some opening of the ground floor so the buildings don't feel quite so opaque and you don't really know what's happening behind those doors. We wanted to make sure the campus infrastructure was going to be addressed over time, whether that's the kind of hybrid learning environment that we're in today and the needs to have the infrastructure to kind of just ongoing improvements within the kind of facility conditions. And then finally, campus connectivity. We really see the importance of making sure that it's clear, the kind of wayfinding of the campus is well articulated. But then as we're thinking about the future of the area around the metro station, and what does that mean for campus connections? As new investments are happening along 95th Street and that kind of center of gravity of some of the kind of campus life elements are starting to shift, wanting to make sure that people can move in a kind of safe but also active way. So then for the planning framework, we can just jump right into the next slide here. Just some of the recommendations that came out of this. As Michael mentioned, this is a very lengthy report with multi-layers of recommendations, so this is tailored down to just some of the kind of high points here. But first, we want to enhance the kind of mobility and access of the campus. So thinking about the sense of arrival, both from 95th Street as well as from Martin Luther King Drive. And what is that experience as you come into the campus? That it is kind of screaming Chicago State, whether that's for landscaping and branding and the ability for that kind of welcomeness. We've wanted to also think about the kind of vehicular movement on the campus today. Right now, service cars can kind of go wherever they want. Yeah. And so just kind of stepping back from that a bit, and perhaps there's places on the campus that we want to prioritize the pedestrian, prioritize the students and the faculty and the staff that are moving across campus. Mm-hmm. And that can be right on the quad, that's right outside of the library here, to the area right outside the Union, and thinking about how to kind of transform some of these more cars, they're not car-centric, that's not exactly the right term, but they're kind of a mix zone right now. So prioritizing where service perhaps begins to move out and more activated places, more even simple like tables and chairs and places for people to come together in these central spaces. Obviously the importance of the metro station on that campus mobility as well. And then as we come into your campus buildings, we spend a lot of time thinking about how to use what you have better. Before we, you know, launch some recommendations of brand new academic buildings, let's understand, really, you have a lot of square footage, and perhaps there's some strategic moves that we can do to really improve that utilization through some renovations. And so that includes thinking about exactly where certain departments are located, which are currently pretty spread out across all of these kind of living or these teaching and learning spaces. So within Douglas Hall, there's already a shift of relocating nursing and the health sciences together. But then as we think about the spaces within the Science Center, that have been vacated from that, perhaps thinking about creating more of a kind of living spaces on the ground floor that allow students to just kind of take a break and find that place to land. To also that continued need to renovate some of your teaching labs. In Harold Washington Hall, we really see this as a chance to take some of your existing classrooms and integrate some active learning spaces. I'm working with Dr. Roundtree and other faculty on the campus. These were some of the kind of needs we were hearing around classroom spaces. So today, many of the classrooms are a tiered kind of auditorium style. Could there be opportunities to take some of the underutilized spaces and transform them into really these active learning? So it's more interactive, it allows the students to engage with each other and just sets them up for success beyond graduation. I'm just going through the kind of list here. For the business and health science building, we actually see this as a potential opportunity. What if you were to relocate the kind of offices and classes within the education department? Get those closer to the core of the campus and perhaps within that business, the current business and health science building. There's a lot of kind of backfill space. And so again, just trying to find places where people can come together. You're starting to see more people on the hallways and have a more amplified campus experience. But that leaves the education building. We definitely want to kind of maintain the investments that have happened with the daycare. But perhaps there's an opportunity for that building to have a new life, whether that's a different partnership outside of CSU or kind of just setting that aside a bit, some of the upper floors for future investments to come. Here in the library, we see incredible opportunity. It's some of your best space on campus, but could we use that space better? So for example, on the ground floor, could we actually make it more of a student-focused space? The computer labs, because that's a destination, could probably find its way somewhere else in the building. And you can imagine more of a lounge style where students can just hang out in more of a kind of active way, really kind of working with the student union in that way, of which that building kind of functions as a student office space in a lot of ways. So thinking about those two in tandem. Going next to, what's that? So going next into the importance of improving student life spaces on the campus. There was a kind of clear desire to add additional students living on campus. So you have about 300 kind of plus living here today. Could we add additional beds on the campus? And so we've looked at kind of a near-term phase for that and a longer-term phase. And they could include some family-style housing as well to really meet your kind of broader demographics. Kind of with that, I mentioned the library and the improvements to the Robinson Center and how this kind of center of student life can be concentrated in a way that's really vibrant and active and allows the students that are living here to have that 24/7 experience. And then up on the 95th Street corridor, our recommendation is to really think about the future investments of kind of mixed-use lifestyle right on 95th Street in conjunction with the train station. That kind of transit-oriented development will allow people to live in the apartments and hop on the metro train. Perhaps there's a couple and one person needs to get downtown. But it also creates a lot of synergies of kind of consolidating that development together. And then as you move and transition to the west of St. Lawrence, really trying to maintain the beauty of that kind of forested edge of your campus. Because it's one of the kind of identity features as you're entering from the 95th Street and MLK area. And so just some near-term recommendations, and then thinking about how they will set you up for success in a longer-term vision. So some of those incremental renovations that we talked about just a second ago, and perhaps a new development of a kind of first phase of student housing. So that first phase, we were looking at like 250 new beds. So a pretty big number, but it allows almost to double the amount of students that are living on campus. And that will dramatically change the kind of holistic campus experience for the students that are here. And perhaps working with some partners, some kind of first phase development right at the train station as well. Some longer term opportunities, additional development along 95th Street as that makes sense to build out, continued investments within your existing facilities, additional student housing, and then you'll see on the kind of south end of campus, we're looking to continue to expand that. So we're showing if there's a desire to have a larger stadium, whether that's for football or a different sport, where that could go and the kind of incremental development that could be done as well. And as this kind of all comes together into really a final vision for the campus, really thinking about how we can use your existing buildings, again, for the kind of highest and the best use. Think about future investments to really have the greatest student experience impact, but also trying to create a more amplified and collaborative place here at Chicago State. So I welcome any questions. I'm sure the full report has a lot more details. This was, again, pretty high level.
Thank you. The report was really well done, and it's a great vision for us. Other questions? Okay. And Michael, just I'm wondering, what are we going to do with the report? What are next steps?
So what we look at as our next steps is this gives us some. Let me just first start off by saying this report was generated by a lot of input from the entire community, from faculty to staff. They spent a lot of time with the community partners, faculty, students, everybody involved. And so I was very pleased with that engagement because everybody could now claim a stake in this project. It just wasn't one idea. So that's very important. Some of this stuff we've started already, and she's incorporated, the company in that plan has incorporated some of these concepts already. And so, again, it just gives us a guide. Some of this may change. Some may go in a different direction. But it gives us a guide to move into the future, and we just want to be a part of starting that movement forward. You know, our goal is to keep CSU around for 100-plus more years, whatever that may look like. And if we can contribute to add to that in this time that we're having some decisions to be made, we would just want to make sure there's some guidance to where we're going and we're just not doing things, just doing them to do them, and they don't have any longevity to them or purpose in retention, student engagement, community engagement. We just want to make sure all that's incorporated in this plan so this university can go to the next level as far as providing that service to our community in the state of Illinois. You know, we want to be that university. So I think this is what this plan allows us, that vision. So, again, once we provide it to the general community, obviously we're going to make that available. And, again, a lot of this, not say a lot, but a big portion of this has started already. So we're just changing the whole look of the university that we believe will have a major impact on our enrollment and retention.
To Michael, to your point, Chair Zop, you know, the housing plan was part of what we released in the community development, economic development plan. Our goal is to prioritize that piece, and that includes work that Aaron is leading along with Melanie to address the community trust and another round of grant funding for technical expertise to move that project forward using our land. That's priority number one. Priority number two is really looking at the buildings themselves. As Aaron mentioned, the governor has proposed $450 million in capital funding that will flow to the public universities if his budget is passed. The next thing that we have to understand in that budget is where those capital dollars will be prioritized, and I'm waiting on the governor's office to get back to us to tell us how we will be able to use the capital dollars, and perhaps some of that capital funding can address some of the projects that we prioritize from the master plan.
Okay, I think that's terrific. I think my biggest concern is that it doesn't end up on a shelf.
Right.
And that we continue to talk about it. And I also recognize, you know, we touched on this, that we tend to get sucked up in the, you know, the stuff that has to get done. So, you know, the elevators work and the maintenance work. In that environment, it's hard to think about the vision. So I just think that continues to be important, and we have to think about how we can make sure that people see that there is a vision and know that we're doing things not just to fix what's broken, but also to make things better.
Right. And again, so on that, I will just touch on the capital projects that we presently have in place. And I won't go through every list, but I just wanted to say 7 of the 8 existing projects that's underway will be completed by the end of this year,
woo-hoo,
which is a really good thing. We do have a couple of projects, the renovation of the nursing lab. Obviously, that's a two-year project, but we hope to have that complete in 25. That's the goal of that, in the fall of 25. And then we move down to the interior of the Robinson building, which was part of a major part of one of these building renovations that we just talked about in the future. So that is projected to be a tremendous opportunity for athletic space, student engagement and activity space, and also income-driven revenue sources in that building. That's a 56,000 square foot building, which would take millions of dollars to build from the ground up. But this project in phase two will not only deal with the environmental issues that closed the building up in the first place, but also the total demolition of the building would allow us to build from scratch whatever we want to build in that building. So those two projects I want to highlight. And then the swimming pool, which everyone wants to ask. If you get a chance to go look at that pool, you see that new pillars are going up. We hope to have water in the fall, water in the pool in the fall. We just always keep our fingers crossed that we don't find anything else that's wrong in this building. But again, we're dealing with older buildings and nothing that was done to these buildings. And so now we're going into them, fixing them, renovating them, building from scratch. And so sometimes we find things we didn't wish we found, but we have to address them. So again, all of these projects will be completed, and we talked about it a year ago that we thought everything would be finished this year, and thankfully we believe we're still on track to complete all of these projects by the end of this year. So that'll be a major accomplishment, and it'll have a major impact on the aesthetics of the school, but also the retention of students that feel that they're in a top flight university, and also the ability to bring in students to see a top flight university and in a good looking place to call home for the next 4 years. So on that, if any questions, I appreciate it, and thank you very much for your attention.
Any other questions for Mr. Holmes and Ms. Scanlon? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And our last report is from the Chicago State Foundation, our Executive Director, Melanie Silas.
Good morning. If I could have the next slide, that'd be great. So, lots of great things happening as a foundation this quarter. It tends to be a little bit quieter from a fundraising perspective just because most of our funders operate on the calendar, but nonetheless, still great things. From a corporate and foundation perspective, we're at close to 1.6 in Q3, and I am going to say more about some of our funders that have come in, but we are on track to meet our $2 million goal from a corporate and foundation perspective. When it comes to alumni, staff, and individuals, we're also on track to meet and exceed our goal from an individual giving perspective. We did a number of additional campaigns this year, particularly around our challenge grant that we were able to get in the fall, and so definitely having a really good year from an alumni, staff, and individual giving perspective. One of the things I also want to highlight is around staff giving. Thanks to the support of President Scott, we did a raffle to increase employee giving over the holidays, and we doubled the number of staff who gave to us for the year in campaign, and many of them signed up for recurring gifts. So thank you, President Scott, for underwriting the raffle and helping us to drive employee engagement when it comes to staff giving. From our major gifts perspective, we are also on track to exceeding that goal thanks to our challenge gift. And we also were able to close a major gift that had been in progress since 2020, I believe. And so we are on track to exceed in the major gift area as well. I think I mentioned this during the last report, but we are currently working with a consultant that we received as a result of our partnership with the Circle of Service Foundation, and they are helping us to build out a real individual engagement plan where we'll have actual programming and be thinking through ways to engage individual donors with the campus outside of our regularly scheduled events. So more to come on that for my next report, but I'm really excited about the work that we're doing in that area. And for this spring, we are planning our first donor cultivation event that will focus just on individuals. Save the date for our gala. This year's theme is going to be Accelerate. With all of the projects and initiatives that we've been talking about today and all of the things moving forward on campus, we thought that Accelerate would be a great theme for this year. We are back at the Garrity, and we've set a budgeted goal of $500K. However, my stretch goal is $600 for the event this year. We are currently working to secure a presenting sponsor, and we've also identified two of our three Cougar Service awardees for the year. President Scott, is it okay to share who they are?
The selected, yes, sure.
So in the area of public service, our Cougar Servant Leader is going to be Valerie Jarrett, and in the area of education equity is going to be John Atkinson. So really excited about having them identified, and actually so early in the year, because that will allow us to promote their award throughout the year and help to drive fundraising overall. If I could go to the next one. So from a corporate and foundation perspective, we did bring in a number of new awards in the past quarter. The Spencer Foundation has awarded us $75,000 for the Center for Education Equity, and it's for our launch work. They also are planning to do some workshops for faculty and staff around training them for fundraising, which will expand our capacity. They wanted to wait till it's warm to come here, but they are willing to come on campus and do that for us in person. So really happy with that partnership, and I look forward to how they'll help us grow in that area. We also received $10,000 from Discover for School of Business scholarships. And year two of our Afrofleet Peace Loan Foundation grant for the CSU and Purdue partnership with the Department of Chemistry. We also received $25,000 from Leo Burnett for CMET scholarships. This is the second year that they awarded that support for us. And so they partner with an advertising class in particular. Their staff work with our students, and the scholarship is a competitive competition. So at the end of that course, they will, Leo Burnett's staff will come in, will judge their final presentations, and the students will be awarded scholarships this spring. The last foundation I wanted to highlight, and I heard someone else mention it earlier today, is the Walder Foundation. Under Dr. Bro Tanga and the Center for STEM Education Research, they received a $148,000 grant because CSU is the leader of the Illinois Lewis Stokes Alliances for Minority Participation. And so they work with a number of institutions to increase minority participation in STEM. So very happy for them and that grant award as well. If I could go to the next. Some of the pending applications that we have in progress, we have an LOI submitted to the Motorola Foundation in support of the PrEP program. There's also another special project proposal that we should be hearing from any day. It's a faculty proposal to the Spencer Foundation. We also have a pending proposal with Comcast for the PrEP program, the Dr. Scholl Foundation, and Jack and Jill Foundation, all in support of the PrEP program. We also have a number of applications that are in progress. As President Scott mentioned earlier, Aaron and I are working together on submitting a proposal to the Chicago Community Trust for our 95th Street redevelopment project. They've already let us know that they've earmarked this $200K for us. We're just working on the proposal to tell them what we would do with that money. So. That's great news. And then we're also have a pending meeting with the AKA Educational Foundation in effort to renew their $20,000 support for the PrEP program. We also have a pending application with Google. We actually submitted that application in the fall, and they wanted to table it to earlier this year just from a budget perspective, and so we don't have the number yet, but they are planning to do something with us and support Arise Academy. And then we also we submitted a discussion draft with the Lumina Foundation in hopes that they would fund us sometime this year in one of those areas within student success or the Center for Workforce Equity or our PBI advocacy work. We also have some upcoming meetings occurring. Relativity, that meeting is coming up actually in a couple weeks where they'll get the opportunity to meet our new RISE director, and we'll also be discussing renewal of their support for RISE Academy. I actually have already had a meeting with Circle of Service. They currently fund our academic advising work, but they came to us and wanted to know what else could they do to support us. And so we'll be submitting an LOI to them in May to receive additional funding for the RISE Academy program. We also have an upcoming meeting with the Paul M. Angel Foundation to talk about RISE Academy. And then thanks to the support of Trustee Kiara, we have a meeting coming up with Ascendum Education. They fund national education work, and so Aaron and I will be meeting with them to talk about the PBI coalition in hopes that they would support. There's another of other foundations that I've reached out to thanks to the support of Trustee Kiara. He sat down with me and we had a session around how can we bring in new funders, particularly around the foundation space for Chicago State University. So I just wanted to thank him publicly for taking the time to do that with me. And he's also offered to even attend the meetings with me once I can get them. So I am working on that and hope to have more to report when we meet again around that work. If I could have the next one, that'd be great. We continue to have an engaged board of directors. If you recall, since the last meeting, we had two new additional board members join us. We continue to exceed the goal. We continue to be past what we raised for last year in total. So having a great year from a give get perspective. And I expect that number to only continue to increase as we gear up for the gala, because my goal is to drop the save the date by the end of the month, and we'll start to do some fundraising for the event before the fiscal year end. I also wanted to highlight a couple of our board members who have been in the news. Shawn Gills, she was named Crane's Notable Woman in the Law List. She's been on the board. She's in her second term. She's a part of our investment committee, and so we're really proud of the work that she's doing. Primary Engineers, which is owned by Chicago State Foundation board member Erin Inman, was named one of the Crane 24 notable women-owned businesses. And so she's a part of our development committee, also a great contributor to the board, and so we're happy for her and all that she's doing with Primary Engineers. And that concludes my report. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Good job. Thank you. All right. That concludes all of the regular business on the agenda, and we are now going to recess into executive session, and I move to convene the board into executive session to disclose legal affairs, employment, and audit matters. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, could you call the roll?
Yes. Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Kiara?
Yes.
Trustee Tim?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zop?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, we will reconvene at the end of the executive session.